Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
When Carol was a student in college, a junior or a senior, she took a journalism course. I was working at Newsday at the time. I was a professional newspaper writer at the time. I wrote every word of every paper that she got. She got a C.
That's so great.
I was stunned. And the professor had worked at the Long Island Press, an inferior rag to Newsday. And I said, really? I hooked this course? I hooked this one?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. We're in our third straight day at WMAL, which is where we're going to be until we do specials here and there at Clyde's, if we can work that out, which would make me very happy. Nigel is still in New York City, and we are happy that Claude is here because he's really much better than Nigel.
Man, the internet buzz with how quickly the show's been getting up this week.
It's seamless is the word I would use.
Yeah. Those are the voices of Gary Braun and Chris Saliza. Michael Kornheiser will add his voice to the show as we move on. I wanted to start with a personal. It's personal for me. Not that I have anything to do with it, but it's sort of a recommendation. There's a story in The Ringer. Bill Simmons' whole podcast empire is built on talking and writing, and his print outlet, right, is The Ringer?
That's right.
It's digital, but yes, absolutely. It's also on, you can also access it in some way. I don't know how this works.
Ringer.com. Yes, it's basically a standalone news and entertainment.
And for print fans, you can right click and print it.
So this is Simmons. So there's a story in it by Brian Curtis.
He's great.
I don't know. I met him. Yeah. I don't know him.
I don't know him, but he's good.
There is a story in it.
Haven't tried them. I hear they're very good.
In the relationship of 40 years, as you're going to already, you're already inundated, but you got more to come. The 40th year anniversary of ESPN, which is officially, I believe, in December, early December of 2019, because that's when it started in 1979. In conjunction with that, though not by no means officially sanctioned by ESPN, believe me, is a story about Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick. And they're, in hindsight, very short run with what I would say is the greatest sports show ever. I mean, I think their Sports Center, which was 11 o'clock, right? 11 o'clock
the
at night.
Show.
The
yep,
big show.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it only lasted, was that 4.5 years, 5.5 years? It was not a long time. It was in the 90s. It was not a long time.
Influence beyond how long it lasted.
So I work at ESPN. I mean, they pay my salary. Wilbon and I are now finishing our 18th year and starting our 19th year at a show that I say, without any particular humility, is a pretty good show. The PTI show. It's a pretty good show. It's been on a long time. It's very influential. Visually, it changed the way a lot of things were delivered on television, and that's all credit to Eric Rideholm. And Mike and I do this, and I love it. I think he loves it, but I love doing it. And a lot of people think, wow, that show, that ain't it. Okay, what I'm telling you is Keith and Dan. That was it. Their show, they're both quite smart. Keith's a genius. I understand that he's polarizing. I get this. I understand that politically he is polarizing. And his career, I suspect, and this is me talking, has suffered because of this. But Keith Olbermann is a television genius. If you watch him prepare, it's just, he's great. All right, Dan Patrick is really, I'm not going to say Dan's a genius. I don't think Dan would say that. But Dan Patrick knows television, knows how to work television, knows what he's talking about. And with Keith, I mean, when they were on the air, without making a judgment as to who was better, because it's like when Lennon and McCartney wrote songs together.
Different. Yeah, they're different.
They're different. When they wrote songs together, they were incomparable songs. Keith and Dan were incomparable on the air. I know Dan a little bit. I used to do a show for ESPN Radio, and Dan followed that show, so we got to know each other a little bit. I've watched Dan. Dan left. Well, Keith left. Dan left.
Yeah. Look at what they both accomplished once they left.
That's the slight difference
between you and Wilbon. Not to take anything away from PTI, but I mean, you guys have sort of scaled a mountain and then just sort of
that's the last thing
hung on the mountaintop.
That's right. And then we
possibly changed. The last thing you do. Those guys early on did this thing which was amazing,
and
then
had
went separate
success.
Ways and had tremendous success.
Dan Patrick's radio show that is podcast and simulcast
right.
is really it reminds me of this show in some ways in terms of it has a very loyal following.
Uh-huh.
They don't just do sports, and then Keith is obviously done. Keith did politics. Keith came back. I mean, that's one success. You and Will Bond, both of you succeeded in newspaper writing and then in TV, but one success, a lot of people have a single success. Having a single success as SportsCenter, that's a big deal, but then to go on and have another separate, multiple separate successes speaks to how distinct their talent is.
Like,
you don't see a ton more of that.
Kind of like, and Michael would probably agree, like Sequiza, and then being a number one talent at CNN, which you're not. But
which is why Saliza is the Danette of the Tony Kornheiser
Show. I am a
show.
Danette. That is exactly right.
So what I wanted to say about their show, and there are a lot of people listening to this that maybe don't remember it, maybe never ever saw it.
My bad.
It was funny. It was self-aware. It was really self-aware. And it was so subversive. I mean, it really was. It's all the things that I admire most, which are smart and funny, and subversive. And
three men you admire most: Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
They took the last plane for the coast. But it was probably too hot not to cool down. I mean, they had other things they wanted to do. Well, certainly Keith did, and Dan probably after a while felt, well, I ought to do something else because I don't want to stay here. And be alone. I mean, I don't know. I'm inventing that reality. But I recommend to you in The Ringer this story by Brian Curtis. I think it's really good. I'm sure that both of them will hate certain parts of it, which is the way it works. But their influence is, to my mind, enormous.
Vast.
Just enormous.
And not just in sports tone. I mean,
the
mixture of sort of irreverence and how news can be delivered with some edge is hugely influential outside of... I mean, obviously, it has a big impact in sports, but in the same way, honestly, PTI, in terms of how television news is formatted now, PTI has had a vast influence on how news...
Well, that's right.
Yes,
I would say if you
look at shows like Don Lemon on CNN or like Hannity on Fox, I mean, the notion of... anchors, and I'm using that term loosely because really they're not anymore now, they're personalities.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're,
but
they're
but the notion
anchors.
Of like anchors editorializing,
yep,
was that birthed out of the Big Show? I'm trying to think
that's for historians to figure out. I'm just saying that in the history of ESPN, one would clearly say that if you had to isolate the single most important person for the growth of ESPN, it would be Chris Berman. There's no question about that. But for me, if you look at something where you say to yourself, wow, I've never seen that before. I'm amazed at how good that is. Look at those guys. Look how smart and funny they are. That was Keith and Dan. I also wanted to say in the opening of the show, thank God that the NFL is back. Green Bay plays at Chicago tonight. This is, regardless of what Wilbon says later when we interview him, this is what America wants and likes. It's football. It's college football and it's pro football. And this is the start of the school year and the fall season and all of that. And there is no intensity in sports that matches the intensity out there for football. None. I'm not going to sit here and make a case that it's safe. That would be idiotic. I'm just saying that as a sports fan, there's nothing out there quite like football week after week after week after week. Aaron Rodgers, this is interesting to me. That Aaron Rodgers, we had this statistic yesterday on PTI. Aaron Rodgers plays in Chicago every single year because they're in the same division. He's not thrown a touchdown pass there since week one of 2015.
That
so 16, 17, 18.
My mind.
That's
16,
well, one of
this is Aaron Rodgers.
But still.
It's Aaron Rodgers.
That's three other years.
Like he throws touchdown passes every game.
Multiples, usually.
You know, that's like if you said, and Tom Brady hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in Miami.
That
and
is mind blowing, actually.
Yeah, so I was sort of amazed.
And let me say this, kudos to the NFL who got this right. And I forget if last year was the first year, maybe it's been a few years now. Time flies. But. the way they have built the schedule now, where the first 2 weeks and the last 2 weeks are interdivisional games, like you come right out
really
of the
shoot,
like Redskins, Eagles, Giants, Cowboys. You got your opening the season with a huge rivalry game here, and not only does it sort of start the season at 60 miles an hour, but it ensures that teams stay in it until very late because you have a chance to make a couple up in division late. That was a great move. I'm wondering if this is now, do you guys remember, is it now 3 years or has it been longer than that even?
Well, because we pay attention where we live to the NFC East. We focus on that. Mm-hmm. It is not true in every other division. It's not. There are even interconference games, for example. I've got a game here.
Oh, I thought everyone was.
Houston at New Orleans. That's an interconference game. So, you know, Tennessee at Cleveland. That's not the same division. Atlanta at Minnesota. These are games that are out there. But the NFC East seems to line up that way all the time.
Yeah.
And that makes it.
I thought largely they were doing
exciting.
That. But you're right.
I don't think
Thank
that that's true.
Me.
I do want to mention one thing. I have played golf a couple of times since my sciatica. And I'm in a cart.
Doctor ordered?
Doctors say don't even play
Immediately get out and play golf.
I'm in a cart. I can't walk 18. I can't even walk one. I can't really walk it.
Are you swinging it from the cart?
No.
Just slow down, Michael.
No.
Cut.
No, I'm not swinging real hard. I'm really happy to be out there.
Just playing polo.
Yeah, I'm not a good player to begin with, and I'm a worse player now, but I'm glad I do it. So I was in a tournament on Monday, Labor Day tournament at Columbia, and I played with three women. I played with Courtney Fremming, and I played with Colleen Williams, and I played with Lenore Martinez. Lenore is a multi-time champion.
The first two
champion.
Names I know we've heard on these airwaves before. I'm not sure if we've heard of Lenore.
This was such great. Now, I told them when they asked me to play, I said, look, I cannot help you.
Yeah.
I'm no good.
I'm an anchor.
I'm going to hurt your chances to win. And not only that, but I can't even, if I hit it in the trap, I'm out of the hole because I can't go into the sand trap.
Just walking down into it.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to throw it out. I'll continue playing the hole, but my score will not count for that hole. And I only went in two traps, so that wasn't so terrible out of 18 holes. That wasn't so terrible. But I had so much fun playing with women, and particularly, I should say this, and they're all wonderful, but Colleen is, as Michael well knows, Colleen will stand in the street and scare the horses. I mean, she will say anything.
Interesting.
She made so many jokes that were so, just lines that were so funny that were self-deprecating or attacking me.
Smart. That's what you would call self-deprecating.
If I knew that estrogen made you this funny, I would have taken it a long time ago. I was really, I had a tremendous time. I don't think we placed. I think we were 9 under, so I doubt very much that we placed or did very well. But it was great fun.
9 under,
and everybody should try it. And by the way, I was hitting from the white, which is the member tees, and I was being consistently outdriven, like just in straight length. You know, forget where I was from; they would drive it because I can't hit it anymore. I'm hitting it, honestly, if I hit it good now, I'm hitting a 180.
Well, that's compounded by the fact that whether you realize it or not, you're not probably finishing your swing on either side.
I'm afraid to swing hard. I'm not turning. You know, I'm going straight back, straight through, and as soon as I hit it, I sort of stop. And I'm a lousy player. But I had a really good time, and I just wanted to say that on the air. Lenore's a really good player. Lenore three different times threw in 20-foot-plus putts.
Is that Poe who has the – what is the Lenore – there's a famous Lenore in literature. I think it's Poe. Doesn't matter.
Nobody cares.
But I just wondered if that she was named after that. It's a cool name, and not one you hear all that often.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So we had a really good time, and so we'll get out of here now. And Wilbon.
This show
Wilbon
is loaded
is back.
Up. This show is loaded.
Oh yeah, we have
up.
Jeff Blowed Ma. Up. We have Chris. We have Chuck Todd. We
I'm
have
here.
Nigel. Well, Chris is here.
Reggie.
And, you know, Reginald. Nigel's good. Nigel apparently talked to Reginald. So we'll be back with Wilbon. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
You know it's football season when SeatGeek is sponsoring again.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever feel like ticketing websites make getting to the event difficult on purpose? It's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. So what if their site's annoying and doesn't have the events you want? Hello, status quo. The real question is, how easy could it be if those ticketing sites actually cared? Why is SeatGeek better than the rest? Tell us, Chris, because you use it.
Ease of use. I used it, actually, to get my seats to the Nats game on Sunday. Ease of use. tells you, the thing I like best about it is it doesn't just tell you the seats available. It tells you your best deal. You can rank it by deal. So I can say, like, to my kids, like, well, let's sit in E 105.
Either best value or best price.
Best value. But yeah, let's sit 10 rows lower and a little more to the left because that looks like it's a better deal and we'll be a little bit closer. So I like that. Also gives me arguing points for my kids because my dumb kids want to sit, like, over the bullpen. And I always tell them, no, the ball is okay. It's 700 feet to hit it over the bullpen. It's not going to go over there. If you want to get the ball, we need to move closer. So thank you, SeatGeek.
Why is SeatGeek better than the rest? Well, Chris Saliza just told you that, but the copy says a quick look at the App Store shows over 50,000 five-star reviews. How's that for customer satisfaction? SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10, as Chris was alluding to. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. And every purchase is fully guaranteed so that you can shop for tickets with confidence. Chris has the SeatGeek app on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
Michael has the SeatGeek app on his phone. It is by far the fastest and easiest way to find tickets. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use the promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today. Use the promo code Tony, T-O-N-Y, for $10 off your first purchase. That is promo code Tony for $10 off your first purchase.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Don Stewart, who has played songs for us before, and they're always wonderful. This is called Angel Girl. Charles Cleaver did the keyboards, as he does on all the Don Stewart songs. Says, I think doing live shows again is a great idea. I'm so glad you're back doing shows on a regular schedule. Life is a lot less boring when I have your podcast to look forward to. Believe me, life is a lot less boring for us when we actually have podcasts.
So true.
It's fun to do.
So
Michael Wilbon joins us now, and I am going to just talk about what Michael Wilbon just had, I think, one of the great experiences of his life. This has been a very good year for Wilbon, 2019.
Good year to be Wilbon.
Yeah, he went to Augusta and was kind enough to take me with him. Didn't take me with him to this latest sojourn. Went to France. Tell the people what you have just done.
I've just returned from Saint-Tropez. You're not talking about Saturday's trip to, all right, Maddie, have a good day at school, but all right, we'll see you tonight. Bears Packers.
See you, Lilbon.
Be here early.
Lilbon.
Go ahead.
So you're not talking about the Premier League game.
Oh, yeah, no, that's part of it. No, you can give the whole trip.
Don't bury the lead. You know where he's going.
My first Premier League game.
Oh, where did you go? Who'd you see, Wilbon?
I saw Chelsea against, one of the new teams that was just promoted.
The Bears?
Was it Sheffield?
Sheffield.
Yeah, Sheffield United at Stamford Bridge?
At Stamford Bridge.
Oh.
Really, a tie that felt like a awful loss at home for Chelsea, which was up 2-0 in the first half.
Yep. Chelsea, by the way, Christian Pulisic, the greatest talent that
Wilbon,
American
your phone
sports
is
produced.
Terrible. It's popping.
My phone's not popping. That's your phone.
My phone is popping? Claude, is our phone popping?
It might be. Are you on a wireless
landline? No, I'm on a landline.
Yeah. All right.
Maryland. Jeez.
This is terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. Should we call him on a cell phone?
Yeah, let's call him.
All right, we're hanging up. We're calling on a cell phone. So you have your cell phone handy?
That's right here.
All right, good. Okay, cool. All right, Claude is going to call you back.
So the notion is this false modesty? The notion that you'd be like, "Tell us about your weekend." He's saying he went to his first Premier League.
Well, no, we're going to get through that.
I know,
but so should we take this time to do my Premier League weekend roundup?
Yes,
no,
this would be a great time to do the Saliza Premier League roundup.
We've been talking about this. It's
have you been there? Have you?
No, I'm going to take the kids to. The kids are Liverpool fans, so we're going to take them to Liverpool and
kids
see a game.
Like
he
Liver.
Was in London. Which is, you know, North London. Chelsea is the one owned by Roman Abramovich, the giant Russian magnate.
I don't know any of these
owned,
things.
It's owned by a...
Manchester United is owned by the guys who own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Right. That's right, the Glazers. And Manchester City, which is another massive club, is owned by a
That's
Sheik.
Enough.
And, you know, there's a few of those clubs.
All right,
That's
so Mike is back. We'll try this phone. So when you went to this game, when you went to the soccer game, A, were you recognized by anybody there? And B, was it what you hoped it would be? Was it exciting or was it boring?
Yeah. It was exciting as hell.
Okay.
I mean, it was a game in which there were four goals. There were lots of chances. There were big substitutions at the end of the match because Chelsea's got one of the youngest teams in the Premier League. And it backfired because they could not stop you know, Sheffield from scoring a couple of goals. It was just, it was everything. It's a tiny little place. It's like Fenway or Wrigley. It's just, it was just great. I had everything. I sat under cover because I sat in what was the second of the three decks.
Right.
But it rained at one point in late in the second half, which was just fabulous. I got to watch Christian Pulisic, the American Wonderkin. It was everything you could hope for. And the club was so nice. Chelsea was so good to me that they had one of their executives. I mean, I got to thank John somehow. He basically spent the day with me, sat with me sometimes during the game, took me around for a tour, introduced me to players. It was great. Great.
Did anybody know who you were?
Yeah, some of the players did. Some of the players, Tony, have played all. These guys play all over the world.
Okay.
And while we are not on in Great Britain anymore, we're on in Australia. We're on in, I think, Russia. I don't know how much Europe we're on. We're on a lot of places, obviously. And some people, a few people did. It's not like going to Asia, where we are on. And yes, all summer in China and Japan, I was recognized. Yeah, but we're on. And more importantly, in my case, the NBA is on. That doesn't matter in England. The NBA doesn't matter in England. It matters in China.
Okay.
So there's a big difference. But that was not the showstopper for the weekend.
No, it wasn't. Why don't you tell people the showstopper for the weekend?
I went to Europe because I was invited by my long time friend, Irvin Magic Johnson, who I've now known for 41 years.
Wow.
How about that? 40. Well, he's 40. I think he was a freshman in 78. 40 years. And I was invited to his 60th birthday party. And it was just the greatest thing I've ever been through in my life. I mean, I'm not talking out of school now because this has already been viral. I mean, because I know because everybody in the world has a cell phone. Did you see the video of J-Lo dancing with EJ? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Come on. It's like, it's the single greatest thing. It's like seeing Babe Ruth. I saw Jennifer. I was standing 2 feet from Jennifer Lopez. I can't believe you guys didn't watch this. You're so old.
I don't watch. I don't look at social media.
Is that on the
guilty as charged?
It's the greatest video. It's the greatest thing my eyes have ever seen.
So who is she dancing with?
With EJ.
Ernie Johnson.
Oh, Ernie Johnson? Oh, I didn't say, I don't know him as EJ.
You're so old.
I am old.
He has his own television show. And because it's a reality show, it might have more viewers than the shows that his father appears on with, like me and you. Wait.
This is Ernie Johnson's kid?
This is Irvin Johnson.
Oh, Irvin Johnson. Well, why do you call him EJ? When did that start?
I don't know, 5 years ago and about 8
I thought you meant Ernie Johnson from TNT.
Which would be good video. No. Honestly. Yeah. Ernie Johnson dancing with J-Lo is...
All right, so who was at... This was a 3 or 4 day celebration, and what I wondered about...
On the beach in Saint-Tropez.
Were there organized activities for everybody?
Yeah. I mean, organized activities in terms of party your butt off.
Okay.
This is a throwback. These people, I'm telling you, there weren't any 24-year-old celebrities there. Unless, you know, there wasn't that. This wasn't like, what's that show we watch every day? TMZ. This wasn't that. I mean, J-Lo and A-Rod could be on TV. TMZ, yes, of course. But I mean, they're not young. Jennifer Lopez is 50.
Right.
No, there weren't any celebrities imported to have celebrities. This is magic. His friends were there.
So who was there?
Many people that you didn't know. Well, how about that? So there are people from the world. They're divided into three camps. People from the world of sports. How about Dave Winfield, for Hall of Famer. You know, somebody. How about Ray Leonard?
Right.
Who at 63 looks like he's 42.
He's always looked young, Mike. Ray Leonard has always looked young.
This is a Dorian Gray situation now.
Okay. All right.
This is a Benjamin Button situation where I said to Ray, this is preposterous. Ray, he's just great. Tony, look, you know, we know plenty of fighters who've been hit less often than Ray Leonard, who are not themselves at 63. Ray Leonard is Ray F. Leonard.
That's great. That is great to know.
Great. And Dave Winfield and his wife. And so there are people from sports. Isaiah Thomas, Steve Smith. I hate to forget people. Stephen A. Smith.
Right.
And me. People Magic has worked with. People he's done business with, which means, how about Coach Pat Riley? You like that? You like Pat Riley leading at one point about 1:30 a.m. Tuesday morning the Soul Train line?
Well, he was dressed as Aladdin, I saw. He was dressed as Aladdin with Dwayne
Wade. I was with Dwayne Wade the previous night.
Yeah,
Don't ask me about that because I wasn't there.
Okay.
So, but then there are people from the business world that Magic is in huge businesses with. Like Mark Walter, who owns the Dodgers.
He's your boy, right? He's your Northwestern boy.
Right. That's right.
But you told me that you were hanging out with Courtney Vance and Angela Bassett.
Courtney Vance, I'm getting to the, I said three parts.
Okay, go ahead.
So there are people he's in business with. Stan Kasten, who of course has been with the Dodgers since he helped bring Magic into baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people, Mickey Aronson, I don't know if he's in business with Mickey Aronson. Mickey Aronson, owner of the Heat. Who lives on a ship, and he and Magic have that in common for a big chunk of the year. And then there are people who are entertainment people. But again, not somebody who only appears on Netflix that you and I can't even access. It's Courtney Vance and Angela Bassett.
She's a terrific actress. Terrific.
Yes,
she played Tina Turner. She's just great.
Spike Lee. And speaking of Tina, at one point, Tony, in a car, I'm riding over to Nikki Beach, because that is where the first party is on Monday. And there's a woman who says, "Hi, I'm Tina, and I'm from Galveston, and it's nice to meet you." And she's very nice, just lovely. And I get a couple of elbows from Cheryl at one point. She says, well, Tina from Galveston says that she had gone to New York to visit her daughter, and this was a lovely time. And she probably, I don't know, she could be my age, a couple of years older. And Cheryl elbows me, and we get out of the car. She goes, "Do you not know who that is?" "No. Tina from Galveston. It was Tina Charles from the Comets. What are you talking? Tina Knowles, Beyonce's mother, you moron."
That's what I suspected, because she's from Houston.
Area,
yeah.
That's right. So again, people did that, and it was remarkable, not in part for who was there. I told Cheryl before we got this, look, they're not going to be any Johnny come lately. There are going to be people who've been friends with Magic for 40 years. Like, that's how I'm on this list. Because that's who he is. He's not important people. He doesn't care. He's going to have people. And there are lots of people there whose names you would never know, who are just wonderful people. And there are people that I know in business with Magic, some from Chicago, some who are my friends and associates, and Magic has relationships with them for decades as well. And these are titans of industry, Tony. I'm not going to deal with their names necessarily because people aren't going to recognize their names. But so there was, beach time. There were parties.
Did you stay in touch with America? I mean, was it one of those things that there was so much to do, and you were so agog at everybody that was there that you just were in that moment? Or
there's no more of that. I know you don't travel overseas anymore.
No.
But that hasn't happened for 10 years. That doesn't happen with anybody. You're watching CNN on your phone to see the latest on the hurricane.
Okay.
You know about the boat in California. As a matter of fact, I didn't post anything, Tony, because people are so crazy about who posts what. Gail King and I had this conversation, and yes, anything that from that weekend you could consider a name drop, but Gail King and I had this conversation in a car on the way to a yacht at like 1 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. And she said, "Are you posting anything? Cause I'm not." And I said, "No." And we had the same reason as news people. We knew that people are just crazed about when there's tragedy in the world, they don't want to see these postings from news people. They'll still see them from entertainers and people they don't know. But the two of us just said, no, we can't post this. We can't post people having the best time of their lives in San Tropez while people are dying in California and in the Bahamas.
That's right. You're right.
And so you're not disconnected even for a second. You are watching it. I'm in my hotel room with CNN on, just like I would be if I was in New York.
Good job, Wilbon.
there's, well, I mean, you know, listen, I'm watching Premier League soccer games. At one point in London, I'm watching a Major League Baseball doubleheader. You know, there's no out of touch. You're looking at people are looking at social media. I'm not, but most people are looking at social media. They're checking. No, you are never. Again, Tony, we're talking about titans of industry. You think that the chairman of Carnival Cruise Lines could be out of touch?
No, I guess not. Some people like
but
to get away.
No, I know you don't travel overseas anymore.
Right.
I'm just telling you, you may as well have been in, you know, Boston.
So here's what you've done. Like in the last few months, like you've gone to Augusta, which everyone is envious of. You've gone to China and Japan. You've gone to a Premier League game in London, and you've had this experience in France and Saint-Tropez. This is a fabulous year for you, right? It's a fabulous year.
The summer of George.
The last year. I was on a magazine cover is 60 years old.
Right. That's not as good for me. That's it. You're done. You're done.
We're talking about my life. That's way up there for me.
What's a magazine? Is that like a web page on paper?
No. And by the way, Tony, I started talking about what was going on in the awareness of America. Tuesday night, with everybody ready to shake their booties for 6 hours, which was what happened until 3 a.m, Magic insisted on starting his 60th birthday party with a prayer for people in America in these circumstances. Started with a long one, an emotional one, a plea. And there are people there with means. I'm talking about billions. And people there are, and were also in the process while they were doing this of being in touch with these with people in the most awful tragic circumstances. So the days of that. And I knew that this summer in China, it was weird. It was, you're more in touch in Asia in a way because the technology makes us look like we're tying tin cans together. Speaking, a makeshift walkie-talkie when you're a kid, when you and I were like 11. Hmm. Because in China, everybody talks about what China doesn't have and what you're not allowed to do. I did not have anything in China. I had Google, I had everything. And the communication is just like startling. You could dive to the bottom of a pool and your cell phone works perfectly. And you and I had to change phones to start this segment. So America, not Asia.
It's funny because it's true. Yeah. All right, it sounds great.
Not when it comes to that. So the one thing I didn't do, and the one thing that is not on the radar in Asia or Europe, is pro football in America.
Yeah, see, it's here.
Everyone there, and when I say everyone, if I go back to Asia for a second, everyone there can tell you the free agent movement as well as Woj, because this is what they follow. They follow several things because they also follow things that you would love, like track and field, which we don't.
I watch that on the weekends in the summer when it's on.
I know you do. Well, you would love it because in Asia,
but
first of all,
they don't follow. You know, in Europe, they don't care about baseball. I get it.
They don't.
Baseball
can still get on because of the television packages, because Fox is on and. You can still get some baseball will leak through. What doesn't leak through, what has no footprint, is a pro football. The NFL has no, it doesn't exist.
Well, what's great is that it exists here.
Some of the owners cross pollinate.
Yeah, like the Glazers.
It's funny, Tony.
The Glazers.
They're ready. What's that?
The Glazers own an NFL team and Manchester United.
So does Kroenke.
Right.
There's a lot of, cross stuff.
Tom Werner owns. Doesn't the guy who owns the Red Sox? He owns one of the Premier League teams.
He owns Liverpool.
Right. So that happens.
And so I'm saying that but no one knows who the Patriots are. You can think I'm joking if you want, but trust me, I'm not.
Well, thank God you're back, because here people want to know what the Patriots are, and they want
to
know about Green Bay and Chicago. They want to know about that.
Before we get to the teams that other people care about tonight, we're going to get all day. Then we're going to get to the teams I care about in the 100th anniversary. And, that's why I'm back. I left the parties a day early so that I could get back and see. And there were people from Chicago, and they were going back, buddy. They weren't missing tonight.
Yeah, they want to see that. That's a big deal. All right, I will see you later.
Big deal game for us tonight.
You'll be here, and I'll see you later.
I am here, Tony, so good. I'm not going anywhere.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a break. We will come back with news As I said, we are guest loaded today. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
What's that I smell? Ah, yes, the pumpkin spice.
Yes.
I'm looking at Saliza when I read this. Saliza, who shows up today, distressed jeans, French tuck T-shirt, and a vest.
He is ready for pumpkin spice season.
The leaves are crunchy. The breeze is crisp. It's officially onesie season. Who would have thought that an underwear company would open their copy with, "What's that I smell?" and a onesie? Next thing we know, we're going to hear about the blowout. But fall is the time to get soft.
Welcome to parenthood.
To get cozy, and it's time to cuddle up. MeUndies, the softest undies in the world, knows a little thing or two about that. When they say they're soft, they mean they're softer than the foam on top of your pumpkin spice latte. I knew we were going to get to PSL. They mean they're softer than your favorite hoodie, softer and cozier than drinking a warm mug of hot apple cider. I think this exact copy is why people hate my generation. Softer than fall things.
Is it artisanal cider?
Small batch. MeUndies are designed to be the softest thing you've ever put on your body, available in sizes extra small to 4XL. MeUndies just introduced 5 new silhouettes with the feel-free collection for women, designed with every body type in mind, and a feather-light waistband for you to feel free. And I would say thank you, MeUndies. It's great to see you being more inclusive. Undie exhaustion, be gone. New prints drop every Tuesday, so you'll never run out of ways to express yourself. And again, the personal anecdote here is there's nothing like getting the notification that MeUndies, now, and you start to know where they come from because it says from California, I think it's San Mateo, has arrived on your doorstep, and you're hoping you can get home faster than anyone can see what prints you pull out because it's a little personal sometimes. New prints drop every Tuesday, plus members get an exclusive print at the beginning of every month. The prints are fun and all, but they're also they also offer classic colors for you who are a little bit more traditional and don't always play by the rules. MeUndies just launched. It's something about Labor Day. I'm skipping that line. MeUndies has a great offer for Tony's listeners. For any first time purchaser, we're officially back. You don't have to say it with such tone.
No, I mean,
for any first-time purchasers, I'm not going to get approval for this read, am I? You get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get your 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/TonyK. That's MeUndies.com/TonyK. I saved it.
You did. You did great. Thank you, Michael.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. It's about
time. These are the Bedrocks. They're a pop rock band made up of graduates of Georgetown, Chris's alma mater, from the 80s. This song is our musical request to the world to please stop screaming at each other over every single issue in the media and in politics. Leave the shouting and unruly discourse where it belongs, PTI.
Why would you write a song about that?
We don't expect this tune to bring about the never-anticipated Kornheiser-Warren Summit. We just hope it will make a few of our 116 Facebook fans think a little before they speak. It's very nice. This was written in the Dakota Building in New York, an apartment that once served as a rehearsal studio for John Lennon. We sent the song to Yoko, but we've yet to hear back. This is sent to us, happily listening to all, and to Saliza and Kelleher Hoya Saxa from Ray Fika, the lead singer and maracas and co-founder of the Bedrocks in Arlington, Virginia. Michael, if groups like the Bedrocks want to send us their original music, how do they do it?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com.
Jeff Ma has woken up extremely early in California in order to join us today. We let him pick his own games because we're always intrigued by the way Jeff does it. We had the show a little bit out of order today, so you're actually being with us after the other people have picked, but in the show itself, it'll sound like you're the first prognosticator we've got. How have you been, and what do you got for us, Jeff?
I've been pretty good. I mean, I'm up, and I can watch the U.S. play Japan, right, in basketball.
Yeah, just started. Right, just started.
It's just started.
It's exciting. So that's worth getting up at 5:45 for. I've been good. Just enjoying California and getting ready for another football season. It's been interesting with the legalization of sports betting and all the different, land grab that's been happening by media companies trying to get involved. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out in our landscape.
Is the bet the process? Is the podcast still out there on a weekly basis or daily basis or ever?
We're out there on a weekly basis. Okay. We're getting lots more interest than we used to. We like to joke that we have about 7 listeners. I think we're up to about 9, so that's good. if that's tracking to maybe have 11 by the end of the season. So no, it's good. We're playing around with new formats. I'm still working on it with Rufus Peabody, who you guys know well now.
Yes,
and,
we do.
Hopefully we will be recording our podcast later today and releasing it later today. So
okie dokie. So what do you got? What do you like? Do you like college and pro or just pro?
I'm just going to do some pro this week.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Thursday night game tonight. I like Chicago minus the 3. It's minus 3 in some spots still. It's probably going to move up to minus 3.5. I think they're just, you know, if you look at what these two teams were at the end of last year, Chicago would have been closer to a 10-point favorite in this game. And in the offseason, I just don't see how these teams have changed that much where Chicago should only be a 3-point favorite.
I think it's the coaching changes that people look at. I think they look at Fangio leaving, and I think that they look at McCarthy being fired. I mean, I don't know how that translates because the personnel changes are not as great, are they, as the coaching changes?
No, there's not a tremendous amount of personnel changes,
yeah,
for sure. And I mean, this, a lot of people really like, you know, this LaFleur guy for Green Bay, but I'm not really sure what he's done to deserve all of that. And, you know, coaches' changes, I think, take a little while for them to really take place. So, again, you know, when we try to bet these things or pick these things, we try to bet against narratives that we think are false narratives. And this coaching change, I think, is a bit of a false narrative. So, Chicago, I think, minus the 3 here.
Okay. What else?
I actually like Pittsburgh plus 5.5 over New England. Pittsburgh is a team that obviously lost a ton of skill players, and that's the thing that people are thinking about, and I think it's making Pittsburgh a bit underrated going into the season. Again, last year they were still a top sort of 5 team in terms of what they were able to do on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. Losing those skill players was obviously a big deal, but we, you know, skill players tend to be a bit overrated, even when they are as good as, say, an Antonio Brown. And so New England obviously lost a fair amount from last year, and, you know, coming off that Super Bowl win are, you know, still a bit overrated, I think. So I like Pittsburgh, especially early in the year. New England just uses the first 4 games as sort of a petri dish to experiment with things. So getting 5.5 here, I like the Steelers.
Would you be more inclined to think that New England can hold on and win the game outright but not cover, or that Pittsburgh would win it?
Well, I mean, I think that anytime you bet an underdog, certainly with only 5.5 points, you think that the underdog has a chance to win it. But
okay,
this is all probability, right? And the probability is that Pittsburgh can keep this game within 5.5 points or win this game outright, you know, better than 52% of the time.
Okay. What else you got?
I like Jacksonville plus the 3 over Kansas City. And this is a game where I wonder if it's possible to overreact to an entire year, because Jacksonville obviously last year had a terrible season, and they had Blake Bortles and whatnot. But, you know, going into last year, they were certainly one of the most up-and-coming young teams with a ton of talent all over the field. Obviously, they get an upgraded quarterback, and hopefully that will be enough to sort of overcome a lot of the mistakes they made last year. You know, they had Leonard Fournette last year, who was out of shape, they believe, and really has come in this year in, you know, with a much better attitude. And again, like Kansas City, after what they did last year, they are everyone's darling to be, you know, dominant in the AFC. And on the road, you know, or Jacksonville at home plus the 3, I just think that that's, you know, too many points, and Jacksonville plus the 3 is the pick there.
Do you have any sense that Patrick Mahomes had such a great year that to repeat it is unlikely?
Well, I think that people will make adjustments for sure, and I'm not sure that it's unlikely, because he's certainly going to improve as a quarterback. I mean, I think that that's just going to happen as, you know, second year player to a third year player. I think he will make improvements, but I do think teams are going to make adjustments. They've had a year to watch game film on him, and it's going to be harder for him, you know, why am I forgetting the running back that they lost?
Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt, yeah. Well, not having Kareem Hunt is certainly going to be difficult, because he was a really great skill player for them. But, you know, and they're getting LeSean McCoy, I think, will help, because he's familiar with Andy Reid's system,
yeah,
et cetera.
Yeah.
But I definitely think it will be a little bit tougher for Kansas City this year. And so, again, like, I do think they'll be a little bit overrated.
Okay, do you have another game for us?
Yeah, one more. San Francisco plus the 1 over Tampa Bay. Kyle Shanahan in his third year. I think this is the year that he finally, you know, gets this team over the hump. I think we've all expected that. We've all expected him to be a good coach in the NFL, a better than good coach, and he's dealt with some pretty difficult injury situations in his first couple of years. So I think this is the year they put it all together, and I like San Francisco to win this game outright.
Do you like Garoppolo? Because there are like rumblings that Garoppolo has looked very bad, you know, in training camp. I don't know. I thought when he got there, he was terrific, and then he was hurt for all of last year.
I mean, I just think it's really hard to read too much into training camp from preseason because right. You just don't really know what the coaches or what the teams are sort of intending to do. You know, like, what are they trying? Are they trying different things? Are they experimenting with different things, which they probably should, right? They shouldn't be trying to win the game and impress anyone. So I would really like to give him a couple games. And the funny thing about Garoppolo is, like, everyone thinks he's been around for a while, which he has, but he's played very few games.
That's
and
right.
We have very few sample size to actually know whether he's good or not. He certainly looked good in the few games that he's played in the regular season. And so I would probably give him the benefit of the doubt here. And you know, I think that probably it's been a little bit overrated what he's looked like in the preseason.
Thank you, Jeff. And Bet the Process will be dropping today?
Yeah, we'll be dropping later today.
Good. And in future weeks, you can do college games if you want, one or two. But it's early
in the
season.
I looked for a couple, yeah, but I didn't really find anything I liked. So I'll definitely try to put a couple in
okay.
next week.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Tony.
Jeff Ma, boys and girls. We're in the news segment. Michael, is there anything that particularly stands out in terms of news?
We do have a few good news stories for you. We'll start with Antonio Brown. The easy news is the helmet situation has been settled.
Phew.
He will be playing the Zenith Shadow.
Fantastic.
The better news is his response to a team fine.
$54,000. Yeah.
And his social media post. May I read the full quote?
Sure.
Please read it as written.
Quote. And again, I'm going to try and add meaning to the use of punctuation
okay. And
the capitalization.
So true.
When your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me, now devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, so we clear.
I don't know.
So I would translate that to mean water under the bridge, all good, let's go play ball.
That's how I do it.
Yeah, I read it as I'm putting this back on the
but
league.
I got my
I'm
eyes
go
on, but I got
I'm
my
go
eye
out
on
and
you.
Get mine. Yeah.
Hey, Antonio Brown, you're on my fantasy team, so don't screw around, all right?
I think the Raiders so made a mistake by finding him. I think Antonio Brown...
Yeah, I'm sure he'll just let it roll
I think
off
he,
his back
he's
like
one of those
else.
People who is just emotionally
yes.
overcharged
Why
all the time.
Why would you think that, Tone?
And I think he I needs to feel
to
like you've completely got his back.
Yeah, and he said that publicly about John Gruden, and yep. Now they find him. And he posted, which means he's angry.
And the actual language in the letter is so great. As you are aware, you missed X, Y, and Z. Just,
I carry a letter like that in my bag from ESPN.
A certain vacation.
They, yeah, when they threatened.
Right.
Yeah, it ruined our vacation yeah. to Cooperstown.
Yeah.
All right,
the show.
To baseball, Mr. Tony. Nats are happy to see their season series against the Mets come to a close. They finished 7-12. They were unable to continue that bottom of the ninth magic. They lose pretty loudly yesterday in a demonstrative 8-4 loss.
Yeah.
Anibal Sanchez was plagued by the long ball. Actually, the Nats hitters got to Wheeler pretty early, left a lot of base runners on, and just weren't really able to string together any runs. Big story was probably seeing Pete Alonso's home run. He gets to 45th,
wow.
continues to set records for the Mets, and is now setting the pace for the NL.
I cannot stand the whole polar bear thing. So annoying. Stupid Met fans.
He's got a chance to
Sorry.
Get
How
to
are
Aaron
you with
Judge's
the Lion King
52.
Dugout thing? Is that's fine with you? That doesn't offend you at all?
No, not in the least.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Nimmo
sprinting
the first on a walk?
Now, what is that
That's
about?
His bit. The polar bear thing. I mean, Pete Alonso
Bryce
seems
Harper
like
move.
A totally normal, nice guy when he's interviewed. Met fans are the worst.
Continuing the thread with home runs, Yankees win against the Rangers last night 4-1. They continue to see home runs from Torres and Judge go deep. They are just trying to keep up with the Dodgers. We had Peterson hit two home runs yesterday in a decisive win, and they are now setting the pace for the NL single season record.
Dodgers
hit.
Jock Peterson has six straight extra base hits.
They've hit 250?
Yeah.
250 home
and
runs.
Do you know what the record is?
They've got.
I think they've set it now.
Wow.
That's a Dodger record.
Right.
Yeah, the overall record was the Yankees last year, and the Twins are going to blow by that
okay.
this year.
No.
The Dodgers and Atlanta in the National League have three guys on each team with over 30 home runs.
That's impressive.
Golly.
Three guys. mean, that's.
Is it?
How many Nats have 30?
Rendon and Soto. Two, I think.
Soto has over 30 already?
Yes. He had 30 when I. Only reason I know is when I was
three
there on
guys
Sunday,
is a big deal. Three guys. What else you got?
Could Ron Acuña Jr. sneak into the MVP conversation? The Braves thing just made me think.
The Braves are unnoticed.
Question would be, how about Freddie Freeman, who was out of that conversation, but his home run numbers, his RBI right there.
Yep.
No one looks at the Braves. No one is paying attention to the Braves. Braves
are good. Cruising. Now, this is a big two-week series against the Nats. They are finally backloading their season. They have seven games. Starts tonight. The Nats are throwing their big pitchers. Honestly, if you're a Braves fan, you just want to see how does your team look going into the playoffs, because you have a sizable enough lead that I don't think the Nats can catch you, but you want to see them hold serve there. We have one small story for you, Dad. This is a mystery coming from New Jersey. A woman fell asleep in her parked car, woke up, to find it missing. Police in New Jersey say a woman fell asleep in her car.
Where did she wake up?
Woke to find it missing. That's a good question, Dad. Where did she wake up? Police in New Jersey say a possible carjacker apparently removed a sleeping 80-year-old woman from her parked car before stealing the vehicle and leaving her in the driveway. I hope they left her tucked in on her side. Hamilton police say the woman told them she'd fallen asleep in her parked car in a driveway around 9 p.m. Wednesday, but woke to find the vehicle missing.
80.
At around 4 a.m. That's a pretty good stretch, though. 9 to 4.
Nice to sleep.
I would take that.
Wow.
My prostate would never let me sleep that.
That is very That's unusual.
Weird. That's just
in her driveway?
It does not say whose driveway. I hope it was Wilbon's driveway, which is
weird.
Heated.
That's weird.
Thank you, Michael. By choking on someone else's vomit. Yeah. It's that kind of situation.
I will take a break. When we come back, what do we have? What do we have?
Old show.
That was the end of the news. So now we would have old guys.
Oh, yeah, Chuck Todd and Reginald the Monkey are going to pick games for us.
Yeah, the ball boy.
We'll be back. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day. These are the animals, and this is the House of the Rising Sun. And if I have this correct, this was number one 55 years ago. This is the week or the day that it reached number one. This is Eric Burdon at his best, not when he was ridiculous with the group War, and he talked about being a fat, leaping, long-haired gnome. But when the Animals started, there were some of us who thought, wow, that's the greatest sound I've ever heard in my life. And that's when the Beatles were out and the Rolling Stones were out, and the Animals would make record after record, and you go, boy, this is great. And I think they were from Newcastle. I could be wrong about that. I think they were from Newcastle, and I just think that they were this, unlike the Beatles and the Rolling Stones tried to be this, but I think that the Animals had a natural blues sound. Like the Animals, to me, sounded American much more than any of the English groups. I thought they were fantastic. They had about a four-year run, and that's all there was.
Newcastle upon Tyne. Your memory is remarkable.
I'm right about that, right?
Yeah. Anything pre-1970s money.
They were really, really good.
We got to get out of this place. It's my life. I'm crying. Don't let me be misunderstood. They had a lot of
No, they were great.
Tins.
They were great. Oh. All right, so we are devoting ourselves, despite Michael Wilbon's best efforts to tell us that football stinks and it doesn't matter and the only thing that matters is the NBA all around the world and we're fools for clinging to this.
People don't follow it, Tone.
We are clinging to this because the NFL starts tonight, thank God. And Chuck Todd, the host of Meet the Press, who I believe finished in winning territory last year, right? Didn't you finish in winning territory?
I thought I was a game below 500.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know.
You're very close,
you know,
though.
I'm a fact-based guy.
All right.
I'm off for some fake news here, but
all right. So let's get to what we all agree is the hardest week to pick because you just don't know. Exhibition games are meaningless. You don't know.
And more so now, Tony.
Yes.
Even more so. They never play. At least they used to play for a quarter.
No, there's nothing out there. So here we go.
Aaron Rodgers has not taken the snap.
Is that right, Chuck?
Yes, no snaps.
Yes.
Wow.
Carson Wentz was going to play in Winnipeg, but the field stunk and he didn't play.
Yep.
So he's not playing.
Nice.
So we're going to start with that. Green Bay is at Chicago. Wilbon claims to have come back just for this game. Green Bay is getting 3. Chicago had a better record last year. Chicago's defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, has left to become a head coach. Green Bay's head coach was fired, Mike McCarthy. That was his name, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And he's been replaced by a kid maybe a week older than Aaron Rodgers, who nobody'd ever heard of, Matt LaFleur? Matt LeBlanc?
Correct. He used to be a Redskin.
Wasn't he on Friends?
He's a former Redskins QB coach, I believe.
All right, Chuck, Green Bay getting three.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What you got?
Well, you blindly play Aaron Rodgers getting points against the Bears.
I agree.
I was, you know, that's one of those things you're like, wait a minute, they're giving Aaron Rodgers 3 points and against the Bears. We already know Aaron Rodgers, you would say that I would making this up. Aaron Rodgers can beat the Bears with one leg because he did it last year, I believe.
However,
do you
Chuck,
want to hear a statistic that is mind blowing? Aaron Rodgers, who plays in Chicago every year, has not thrown a touchdown pass in Chicago since week one of 2015. Hard to believe,
right,
isn't it?
I hear you.
Yeah, it but I would still, I would take Aaron Rodgers on points.
I am too, and I heard your boy the other day, Lock and Ford. Didn't he say the Bears were overrated?
Yes, he believes their defense will suffer. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I have no idea what to expect from LaFleur as a Packer fan. I'm just hoping I don't see that Aaron Rodgers, I can't stand Mike McCarthy face.
Yeah.
From last year. You know, that angry face that he would get, like, I can't believe I'm working for this idiot. That's all I want to hope for is I don't see that face tonight.
All right, we'll go to Atlanta at Minnesota. Minnesota, a little bit disappointing last year after they got Kirk Cousins. Atlanta was in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and then just doesn't, even with all the stuff they have on offense, Atlanta doesn't seem to be very good. Atlanta is getting 4 points at Minnesota.
I don't know what to do with either one of these teams. You know what I mean? Like, they feel like both teams always underperform their expectation.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go with the Vikings because I feel like Atlanta is just aging. The team's not gotten younger. And you got to think if Cousins is going to work, then it's in year two that it works. If it doesn't work now, it's never going to work.
I agree.
Right? So this is sort of gambling that Minnesota is going to be what everybody thought they were last year. It'll just be a year later. So,
okay. All right. So you'll take Minnesota.
I'm going to go with the Vikings, I guess. Yeah.
Tennessee is at Cleveland. Cleveland's favored by 5.5. I mean, this hasn't happened in many,
Amazing.
Many years. Tennessee was in the playoffs recently.
Playoffs.
Cleveland hasn't gotten a sniff of the playoffs. Tennessee plus 5.5 at Cleveland. Cleveland is obviously the darling team this year. Who you got?
Have you had your Bet the Process guy on yet?
No. Jeff Ma is coming on later. No.
Is he coming on later? I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to guess.
Oh, actually, we're changed the order of the show. So Jeff Ma will have appeared before this, but go ahead.
He'll have appeared. Oh, geez. All right. Now I've screwed up the programming. Well,
it's all right. Don't worry about it. We have full transparency here.
As long as we're blaming Nigel, I don't care.
Yeah exactly.
right? That's fine.
Right.
Is he doing ball boy work? Is that what
he's doing? Yes. We're not sure what he's doing.
Nadal matches.
We're pretty sure he's losing his grip on this gig, but we're not sure what he's doing with that one.
He told me he was playing in the tournament, but I turn on and he's not on.
But Chuck, what was going to be your prediction here? You think Jeff's going to be fading Cleveland?
I think he'll be fading Cleveland a lot.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
I'll tell you, I'm tempted to fade Cleveland this first week, but the Titans are just always a scary team to both bet against and on.
Right.
You just never know what Titans team shows up, but I have a sneaky feeling where everybody's getting a little too – I wouldn't put real money with Cleveland for the first couple of weeks. I want to see them and all of that because of the hype. So it wouldn't shock me if the data guys say fade Cleveland early.
So are you going to take the 5.5 then?
I'm going to take Tennessee in the points.
Okay.
For you.
That's fine. The Giants are getting 7 at Dallas. Dallas has Ezekiel Elliott back. The easiest thing to plug into a system is a running back. The single position that is the easiest to do is that. Giants plus 7, that's a big number. What do you got?
My favorite stat, one of those gambling stats that may mean something, which is division. When you see a division game in week one, take the dog, and if you blindly take the dog, you're going to win 60%+. So this week, I think that's Giants-Dallas, that's Packers-Bears, and I think there's one other.
There's Washington-Philadelphia.
Washington-Philly.
You also got Broncos-Raiders.
because the theory is, obviously, you see these teams twice, you're more familiar with them, and in, even in week one, while it's unknown, you know, you're more prepared for a team you see all the time in week one, if it's somebody you see. So I get the logic behind it. Plus, the Giants have a way of biting the Cowboys in Dallas, right? Like, Eli has this
yes.
ridiculous ability to win in Dallas. That's a lot of points. I don't trust Dallas with a one practice running back with that many points. So give me the Giants in the 7.
And by the way, Bears Jets is a fifth one of those this year, this week.
Bills, Pittsburgh is at
Bills Jets. Yeah,
Pittsburgh is at New England. Pittsburgh is getting 5.5. They have no Antonio Brown. They have no Le'Veon Bell. New England is still New England, as far as I'm concerned. This is a very big number, though, for a Pittsburgh team at New England. 5.5 is a lot. Who you got?
This is almost a divisional game, as much as they play.
They play a lot.
It is. They play all the time, 5.5, that's usually when Vegas doesn't know what to do.
Yeah, it's a lot. Right?
That's a weird, for those 4.5, 5.5 numbers, I'm buying into the idea that Belichick is going to be the defensive coordinator this year, essentially. Mm-hmm. He's calling all the defensive plays. I've heard he's a pretty good coach.
Yeah, pretty good.
If he gets to concentrate on one side of the ball, I'll be curious what that looks like. I sort of like Pittsburgh this year to actually end up fighting for that division with all the idiots gone from their locker room, right? And they'll probably be the typical Steelers. But give me the Pats to cover 5.5 tonight.
Okay. We have Houston at New Orleans. This is the first Monday night game. There's usually two on the first weekend of Monday night. There's two games, a West Coast game and an East Coast game. This is not an East Coast game. New Orleans is in the Central Time Zone. Houston, which is trying to win right now and has no general manager, and you know Bill O'Brien is calling all the shots, apparently. Houston is getting 7 at New Orleans, a team that many people think is a Super Bowl caliber team. Will you take the 7 or will you take the home team?
It always makes me happy that you pronounce Houston with a Y. It's just
Houston.
Awesome.
This is a huge game.
Houston. Yeah, I'm sorry.
The Saints have this ridiculous streak of where they're terrible in their first two games.
Yes,
of the
they are.
Like Drew Brees is horrible the first two games, and then everything's fine. But didn't Houston last year start 0-3 or something like that?
That's right.
Yes, they were going to fire Bill O'Brien until he turned. They turned around nine in a row. Yeah, really good.
Yeah, Houston is like desperate. It's weird, isn't
yes.
it? They somehow think, oh my God, if we don't do it this year, it's all over. With all that, they're mortgaging so much of their future. I'm going to just take Houston on that on the idea that Brees doesn't do well in week one. I don't love that one, though. This would be I wouldn't put real money on that.
7's a lot, though, and Houston can score. And that's probably a good
The pick. Last game is what you were talking about before in a divisional game, take the dog. Washington's getting 9.5. It's an enormous number at Philadelphia. It's really a big number.
I think it's too big a number. What has Philly proved?
Wentz is not taking a snap.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's a ton of points. And, you know, I love bashing the Redskins around town like everybody else does. But I think Jay Gruden deserves a little more credit because the guy gets handed this pile of doo-doo. and he's like, there's a roster of doo-doo. And it's being told, go win football games with it. And the guy always figures out how to win 7 or 8 games. He's more competitive than he should be. I think he's a better coach because of how poor the talent acquisition has been with Washington. Bottom line is, I just don't think the guy's going to get blown out in week one.
All right, so you're going to take Washington. You're going to take five road teams.
I know Reginald, the monkey, hates betting against the Redskins, doesn't he?
Well, you know, the monkey.
And he is a monkey.
He's a monkey.
Yeah. So he's a ball boy monkey this week.
not capable of higher intellectual thought.
Ball boy. He's
to get the tennis ball.
He's an actual
monkey. To get the tennis ball.
All right.
Yeah. Not a real monkey?
Chuck and I did not text. Oh, he is a real monkey. Chuck and I did not text yesterday because the game was on YouTube and it was the afternoon game and I paid no attention to that game at all.
Classic look-ahead game.
You don't call it YouTube?
YouTube. It's a New York accent, I guess. Thank you, Chuck. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Right. Chuck Todd, boys and girls.
He also does a little something called Meet the Press.
I mentioned that at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I said the host of Meet the Press.
I didn't mean to correct you.
If we gave you just that, that would be enough. Do we have Reginald? Do we have Nigel on the line? Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
I see the monkey. He's scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple iPad.
Everyone sing.
Sorry, Nigel. This was supposed to be done 3 months ago.
Hit it. He's going to pick three games this week. It is KG says, geek. That's Chip for take the points at home. He knows how to speak into his phone. I'll pick up him play Monkey Ball. With Al McRae and Dante Hall. Says, bet the Chiefs to win it all. Navigating fatherhood with alcohol.
We need Johnny Walker Blue and some poo.
It's fantastic.
All right.
Wow. That is fantastic.
Like it.
That's fantastic. All right.
He's a monkey.
Are you ready? Did you talk to the monkey? Do you know what you're talking about?
Yes, Mr. Tony.
Go ahead.
Actually, Reginald came up to New York City with me. He is in the city with me, yes.
Yeah, we hear him.
Is he in the Bronx?
Sounds like he's in the closet.
Central Park.
Chip in the city.
Yeah. That's right.
No, he's staying with me. He was in Queens.
All right.
He apparently is a big fan of old friends with Stefan Edberg. So, you know, he's got a smile up here.
Who knew?
All right. So, what do you got? What is he telling you? What does he want to do?
The first game we gave him was Chicago, giving him three at Green Bay. And, of course, he's always got that great photo album. He brought that up here with him. And he showed me a picture of him at a pie-eating contest with with all the old Bears. So, yeah, he's going to take...
All the old Bears? Like,
Sarah Palin?
Yeah.
Read them all.
Kodiak, Grizzly. Yeah.
Yeah. Black, okay. Brown.
So he's taking Chicago, huh?
Yes.
What else?
Very excited about Chicago. The next game we gave him was Dallas giving seven against the Giants. And this was another great video he showed me of him with Gary Hogaboom, Drew Pearson, and Randy White. So that indicates to me he will take the Cowboys in that game.
Indeed, he will.
So the final game we gave him was, of course, Washington getting 9.5 at Philly. And I believe I heard Chuck Todd say he's not a big fan of betting against the Redskins, but this time he will, because he had a picture of him in a hot air balloon with Dick Vermeil, Mike Schmidt, and Steve Carlton. So clearly, he's got ties to Philadelphia.
Legends. These guys are legends up there.
What is he working at the Open with you? Is Reginald doing anything at the Open?
He was a ball monkey for a few matches, and he sort of misbehaved on court. I don't want to get into it, but it was quite messy. I'll just say that.
It involved Nick Kyrgios, I believe. There was a lot of controversy.
Yes, it was much
racket throwing.
Match, for sure.
All right, enjoy yourself. Get out of here on this bit.
Yeah,
get out of here. Go to work.
It's almost working.
Yeah, it's terrible. Nigel, boys and girls, we will take a break. When we come back, we will have email and a jingle, since this is the old guy segment. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Like.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes.
Is this the birds?
That's good.
This is a very fair question, because it has echoes of the birds and the Beatles very clearly.
Yeah.
It's Ronnie Neumeier and Tom Lofgren.
Tom Lofgren,
the brother of Bill's Lofgren.
Beautiful.
It's really, really good. We appreciate that. Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank all the guests we had on today. Wilbon blasting the NFL.
It's not always a big thing in the world, Tone.
Meet the Press host Chuck Todd, Jeff Ma, host of the podcast Bet the Process, and Reginald the Monkey, who's being surrounded by Bernie and all the Bears.
And the Bears, you know.
Thank you for coming on with us.
Ice Polar.
Let me thank our sponsors today, MeUndies and SeatGeek. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Radio.com. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Jamie in Albany, towards the end of yesterday's show, you complained about using a self-checkout teller. You further cried about not being able to push in a code or couldn't see because you didn't bring your glasses. I couldn't help but think of Brooks Halton from Shawshank Redemption, who sends a letter to his old jailmates, which reads in part, "I can't believe how fast things move on the outside. I saw an automobile once when I was a kid, but now they're everywhere. The world went and got itself in a big damn hurry." He goes on to say, "I don't like it here. I'm tired of being afraid all the time. Tony, for the love of God, please don't carve Dr. Hoffwaff was here on the desk in a podcast studio and end it all. You are old and crotchety, but you have something to live for. At the very least, it's entertaining us while you navigate through self-checkout lines and iPhone apps." From David Brown in Charlottesville, Virginia. "My dad is a few years older than you, and like you, he believes in good jobs for people in his community. And if he had been behind you in the self-checkout line at Safeway, he would have had time to find the aisle where they keep the cocktail forks, grab a pack from the shelf, return to the line, open them, pull one out, and stab you in the eye, all before you could find the produce code for Cara Cara oranges. Because if there's one thing he cannot abide, it's standing behind someone who can't operate the self-checkout machine with the efficiency of a full-time clerk. Perhaps Ingleside has grocery delivery."
Oh my.
Alex Hartz in Fort Collins, Colorado. "While listening to the story of your first time holding the hammer, I felt compelled to ask you whether or not this is the first time you've ever held a hammer, tool or otherwise. Although technically, the hammer is the spawn of Michael, so he's half tool genetically speaking. Right, right, left, right, left, right, left. My birthday is January 23rd, so when I turn 55 in the year 2045, the date will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How's that for numbers?
Wow. If he makes it. I mean,
Stephen Dale in Cincinnati, Ohio. "Did you say you were going to be holding shows a couple of times a month at a local restaurant? Great. So bringing down your own restaurant with this show wasn't enough. You have to go after someone else."
We're as coming well, for you.
Funny. Spread the love.
Jay from Connecticut. "After hearing Michael tell the story of your grill fire, I was reminded of a visit my son's Boy Scout troop took to the local fire station last year. The fire chief mentioned that not only should you check your smoke detector batteries when you change your clocks twice a year, but rotate your fire extinguishers 180 degrees as well. This keeps the chemicals from solidifying at the bottom of the canister, which would cause it to malfunction. I can only imagine how your situation would have turned out differently if your extinguisher wasn't functional. Information for life. Thanks to you and the crew for making each day's commute to and from work
never heard
enjoyable."
That one.
John Barnes in Boyds, Maryland. "Are you sure it was Greece that was on fire? I suspect there might be one less raccoon in the 20015 neighborhood these days." No, that was a Greece fire thing. Jim Flynn in Colebrook, Connecticut. "Tony, you weren't good at science in school? That is shocking for a guy who thinks that a planet is an upgrade from a star. I won't go on with thousands of other examples." From Karen Burgess in Columbia, Missouri. "Michael, may I cordially invite you to become a Chiefs fan? In the AFC, not close to D.C., Andy Reid is a coach and Patrick Mahomes. Need I say more? We would love to have you. You were casting about for a team to root for,
I would
right?
do it just for the barbecue."
For Gunnar Kane in Culpeper, Virginia. "I turned 30 today. On account of my friends and family being tired of doing nice things for me all weekend to celebrate, and they think this show stinks, I'm sending myself a birthday shout-out. I'm not above self-congratulation, so happy birthday to me. P.S. I'm a preschool administrator and the father of two, so I wanted to make sure everyone knows that I do water the children." Bootsy, this is Bootsy's first day in real school.
Big first
sort,
day.
Right?
We're getting the updates, yes.
Okay, that's good to know. From Jason Blazer in Lake Orion or Lake Orion, Michigan. I always get that wrong. "I was explaining your exploits in the self-checkout line to the woman to whom I'm related by marriage. The codes, the pictures, the lack of glasses, the money in the slot, and the angry, grimacing shoppers behind you. I received a blank stare for a second and was met with, 'This? This is the man you idolize and we flew all the way to D.C. to see in person?' Needless to say, I still haven't convinced her to be a fellow little." From George in Scottsdale. "Listening to Wednesday's show when I had to check my phone, I thought it suddenly started playing the Daily Workers podcast. Tony is the modern-day Luddite that America needs." And from Steve the Sycophant. "Your diatribe on the lack of cashiers was deeply touching. As recently, the lack of a cashier resulted in me going full-out illegal Tony at an unnamed garage. I pre-purchased parking for a 5 a.m. arrival and an all-day stay. My ticket failed to raise the barrier and there was no attendant. I had to get in, so exited my car and tried to raise the barrier. I barely pushed and it broke off. I placed the pieces neatly on the garage floor and parked. When I came back late that night to leave, the barrier had been repaired. Again, no human being was seen anywhere. My ticket worked at the exit and I sped away. If someone had been there, my malfeasance would never have occurred. America needs more cashiers," to which we all add, "Amen." If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
I Starts with We're getting nowhere fast. The days just keep on slipping by. Been this way for centuries. It's a tired old song and dance to me. But the man upstairs had a simple prayer. He said, just give peace a chance. It's easy. It's about time. Slips away, it's time to build a brand new.